Gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Painting the Stream. My name's Dan Reichert. Across the table from me is my wife, Bianca Reichert. Smiling.
Hello. Yes, of course I'm smiling.
Yeah?
I'm around you. How could I not smile?
Oh, gee.
We're both part of the Heather Gray shirt group today.
Oh, is that what's going on?
Heather Gray shirt crew. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You got your Gudetama shirt on over there.
Dan got me a Gudetama shirt that says, have a good day.
We learned about Gudetama from a page-a-day calendar.
Yes. And, the calendar has taught us a lot.
Yeah, and now we have numerous bits of Gudetama merchandise and salt shakers and stuff.
I just identify with Gudetama so hard. I mean, like, on a personality level, and also he's an egg, and eggs are my favorite.
You identify with a cartoon egg from Japan.
Yes.
If we go to Japan, we should. I bet they have like a Gudetama cafe or shop or something like that. It tends to be the case. So we're here. We're doing a podcast.
We are doing podcasts.
It's weird. We're doing it. We used to do it at night, but we got kind of a lazy weekend here, so we're recording during a weekend right now, and this works too. We'll see.
Bright-eyed and bushy-tailed podcasting.
That's what we do.
Maybe this podcast will be better than all of our other ones. Or maybe it'll be worse. I don't know.
Could be either. You're more of an early morning riser.
I definitely get up early in the morning.
Yeah. Maybe it takes a few hours to, like, kick everything in gear. But
yeah, I like to... I have my routine in the morning. And if anything conflicts with that routine, I get very... distraught isn't the right word. I guess I get kind of like frustrated.
Yeah, I like to give you your space in the morning. Yeah. To put it that way.
Well, I have it down to a science, like literally. Like I know the time it takes to toast a bagel is the exact amount of time I need to go get a coffee from 7-Eleven. What the fuck
is
that sound?
What is that? Let's listen. Is that razor?
No, it sounds like someone's pushing furniture around.
Okay. Well,
we do live in an apartment building.
For you folks at home listening to the podcast, yep, that is some New York City apartment sounds here. Look forward to the sirens and, you know, maybe a child coming down the stairs very slowly and screaming every step. That's always a joy.
There's this little kid that lives in our apartment, and every time he leaves or enters the building and he goes up the stairs, it takes him forever to go upstairs. It's like every time he stops on every step to like make a note of his surroundings.
Yeah. And it's like, I feel like there have been numerous times where it's like, hearing that kid is like hearing the Jaws music. And it's always when like, whenever I'm leaving and I'm locking up the apartment, our one of our locks is really finicky and weird. And sometimes you have to mess with it for a while. And so it's like a horror movie at times when like I can hear him slowly coming down the stairs and I don't want to talk to this child.
Yeah.
And so I'm trying to lock the door.
Well, the thing with me is like, if I'm leaving and I have Razor, like Razor can be weird if someone's coming towards him in the building, he might start barking, which is really annoying. Or like, I feel like pretty much 100% of the time when I leave the apartment, I have my headphones on and I'll be listening to something and then he'll try to talk to me and then I have to like take my headphones off and then be like, I'm sorry, what? Like as if I'm interested in what he has to say. Usually it's just something like, we're going to dinner.
Yeah. And to be fair, in case this small child is listening to our Netflix podcast, he's a very, very nice kid.
He's a sweetheart.
He's a sweetheart. He loves talking to Razor and stuff. He says hi, asks how your day is and everything.
He just has to move a little quicker. I mean, this is New York. I mean,
yes. We got places to be.
Yeah.
When we're leaving, we frequently have to get somewhere. So So sorry. Sorry, small child.
Can't you see I'm walking here? That's what,
is that what the kid says?
That's what everyone in New York says, apparently.
Oh, why did you do it in a child voice?
Was that a child voice? I was trying to be a tough man.
Oh, boy.
Can't you see I'm walking here? That sounds like a kid.
That sounds like a five-year-old saying because he saw it in a movie.
Well, I have a mousy voice, so.
Yes. So, we do talk about Netflix stuff on this podcast.
We also
here.
Talk about Hulu stuff, Amazon Prime stuff, really anything streaming.
We've done YouTube.
We've done
occasionally just spend like $3 to rent something from Amazon. Yeah. That
technically is streaming.
Yeah. Hey, look, we play it loose here.
Yeah.
So, we hope you enjoy it. So, we watched a new Netflix comedy, which we typically don't do comedies because, like, I don't know, I don't know if we've said this, but there is a Lost episode in which we covered a comedy on Netflix. Like this is like
we never posted that.
Mm-mm, I still have the file. It's for those listening. It's not a tantalizing episode or anything. It's just we recorded it. And
we reveal some pretty dark shit about each other.
Oh, in that episode. Yeah, that's
we
the
go
one.
Deep.
Yeah, that's hidden in a vault, a lockbox, hard drive. Yeah, no, but it's like we did that episode, and it was early in Painting the Stream, and we realized like comedy is just a lot of like this joke was funny, this joke was not very
funny.
Yeah,
it's hard to like. Because especially when the show that we did was like pretty much it was always a joke thing going on, like it was a very loose plot and it was all just a vehicle for the jokes. So telling a joke third hand is not you know, interesting or funny. So
yeah, which is why the reason that I thought maybe it'd be okay to do this new one, which by the way is Living With Yourself on Netflix, starring Paul Rudd and Paul Rudd, is because it was like a conceptual, like it seemed less like a one joke after another type show and more of a like comedy.
It's an interesting situation.
Yeah. So we figured that might be a little more conducive to talking about. And so the basic idea of this here, which is clear if you've like probably seen the poster or even a trailer or read anything about it, is that Paul Rudd, mm-hmm. Everyone loves Paul Rudd, right?
Sure.
He's a likable fella.
I'm down with Paul Rudd. He's, yeah. I feel like he's been around forever. Like he in recent years, like and by recent years, I feel like the past 15 years, his star has risen considerably. But he's been in like, he was in Friends. He's
Clueless,
been around for a while.
Wouldn't he in Clueless? Yeah. I think I probably said it before, but probably the most famous person that's come out of my hometown in Johns County, Kansas. You got Paul Rudd, Rob Riggle, made it pretty big. Mm. The King Baron Corbin.
Of course.
So not a whole lot coming out of Lenexa, Kansas or Johnson County.
No, but, Dan Reichert.
Well, sure. I'm no
You're
Paul
special,
Rudd, though.
The most special person in the world.
I'm no Paul Rudd. Paul Rudd is America's sweetheart, I think they say.
It's America's sweetheart?
I don't know if anyone says that. It seems like one of those guys that everyone likes.
Looking back, what was his role that made him kind of like, I don't know, not a household name, but I feel like there was, he wasn't in 50-year-old version, but I feel
he,
like it was that era.
He wasn't 40-year-old version.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
50-year-old. First of all, I said 50-year-old version.
Yes, that's the poorly titled parody film. No, I think it was the Judd Apatow movies. I think he was in several of those.
Was he in Cable Guy?
No. Hmm. No, he was not. He was in, definitely in 40-Year-Old Virgin. I think that might have been the one that was like, okay.
What was he in 40-Year-Old Virgin?
I think he's just one of the friends. I think it was him and Seth Rogen. And I think
that
was the first time people had heard of like Seth Rogen. And also Jonah Hill has a bit part in that too, before he was really well known. Paul Rudd was known by the time that came out, but then I think you started seeing him in all these comedies. And like, This Is 40, was that a Judd Apatow one? I know he's the star of that.
Yeah, that movie was fine. I watched it. I thought it was...
That's what I heard about it. I haven't heard anyone be like, oh, you got to see it.
Yeah, it was more just kind of, it wasn't really a comedy. It was just kind of like, you know, sad.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I remember when 40-Year-Old Virgin came out, I remember being in North Carolina and watching like, there was like some making of featurette on MTV or something, and they showed the whole Steve Carell waxing thing. And I got my eyebrows waxed just like an hour ago.
Yeah.
So I always think about when I'm laying on the table, like about to get my eyebrows waxed, I always think about like that Steve Carell scene where he gets his chest hair waxed off.
Oh, and Neil's wacky random things, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Kelly Clarkson, right?
I think people who've never gotten waxed before, I could see that being like kind of close to a reaction, especially certain areas of the body are more sensitive. When it's like when there's a lot of extra like softer parts like your chest and stuff and like the pubic area like before you get to the actual crotchal region, the mons pubis they call it.
Geez.
The pubic mound.
Getting medical.
That's extremely sensitive. Like yes, parts that are soft and squishy, but like eyebrows, I don't think the eyebrows, that doesn't hurt at all. That's very taut.
I feel even guys, you know, like I've never had like a wax thing obviously, but like Band-Aids. I think I have a sense of like, oh, it's probably a thing where it's like it's very intense for like a split second and then it's immediately okay. Is that how it goes?
Yeah.
It's not a lingering pain. Right?
No, I mean, it's definitely worse than a Band-Aid. A Band-Aid, you're not supposed to tear any hair off. Like waxing and plucking and stuff, you are trying to get the hair taken off.
I did the nose thing that we saw in documental.
Yeah.
Remember that where you put the wax in?
I was dreading that for you, but you said it wasn't that bad, right?
It wasn't that bad. It is what we just said, where it's like the very brief, like, and then it's totally fine.
It must be nice to like, I never really think about nose hair because it hasn't been a problem for me. But, like, at some point, I would like to do that just so I don't have to think about it for a really long time.
Yeah, if you've never noticed it, no reason
I don't know, though. Is it just me? Like, is it just me not looking there? My nose hair has never made itself known to me.
I've noticed ear hair. I've rarely.
You've noticed my ear hair?
No, mine.
Oh.
I've never noticed any, like, weird hair with you, no.
It's amazing. Like, sometimes I look at your tummy, and I'm just so amazed by the fact that, like, men could have such an abundance of hair on their chest and belly.
I got a full Austin Powers thing going
on.
No
hair on my belly and chest at all.
Yeah,
I get some like random, I get this one random hair follicle right underneath my belly button that like it'll be, there's nothing there, and then I'll wake up and there'll be this like thick black like 1-inch hair coming out of there.
Weird.
And then like under my nipple, there'll be like an occasional random hair that springs up there. And I never really look under my nipple, but sometimes if I'm on the toilet and I'm just like, oh, look at my boobs.
That's what you do when you're sitting on the toilet?
Well, I mean, I'll look at my boobs or I'll cut my split ends off when I'm sitting on the toilet.
Oh, okay.
But I'll pluck hairs. Yeah, I'll pluck some hairs out of it. It's weird. It's just very sporadic, but it's minimal. But then you have a forest of hair.
It's Austin Powers like on the chest.
It's not that bad.
Not quite. It's not a full like rug, but it's ample.
My first boyfriend was older than me. I think he was a freshman in college and I was a freshman in high school. And he had like a sweater of body hair. It was amazing. It was disgusting and amazing.
Is mine disgusting?
No. Yours, I feel like yours is normal.
Okay.
I mean, yours, the amount of coverage is impressive as far as yours goes, because I feel like your whole chest and belly. Like my brother Tommy, for instance, I've always remembered this because his name is Tommy and his chest hair grows in the shape of a T. It's really interesting.
Like
it's
for
like
his
he's
name?
A natural superhero.
If
yeah.
His name was Bill, would it be a B?
No, I think it'd be a T anyway. It's like it goes from the belly button up and then connects the, like across the chest
okay.
kind of thing. Yeah.
I love that. I love people that clicked on this podcast being like, oh, let's hear about that Paul Rudd comedy and walking away with intimate knowledge of where our hair grows in weird places.
Yeah. I mean, there's, I don't know, if you want to know more about what I do when I'm on the bathroom, I like to, like...
On the bathroom?
On the toilet. Like, I'll look for like ingrown hairs on my leg and stuff.
That's
you know,
cool.
I'm really into remedying ingrown hairs, as you know.
Yeah.
Cool. It's one of my passions.
Cool.
Yeah, I like it. It's fun. You take care of the ingrown hair, pop it or whatever, pluck it out, and then you just find like a loose hair in there. It's kind of amazing. Like there's a hair that's not at all attached to anything or bound to any. There's just like a freewheeling hair hanging out and not bound to any part of my skin, just floating around.
I don't think I've ever had this experience of like taking
yes,
out.
Yes, you have, because I've taken out your
ingrown hair. You have, but I have never. What you're describing, like taking it out and seeing it and noticing it, like I have never been witness to that process.
Yes,
you know,
it's quite satisfying.
You seem to take great joy in it.
I do take great joy in it. Yes.
Yes.
Again, like with anything, it depends on where it is. You know,
yeah.
It depends on where it is. Sometimes it's painful.
Of course.
Sometimes it's just pure fun.
I'm glad you were able to have that joy.
Anyway, so I guess, Steve Carell, that waxing scene in Pretty Girl Persian.
Yes. Anyway, Paul Rudd.
Yeah.
Yes. The whole thing is he gets cloned. Well, it's like a weird, it's not the usual, like, I feel like in movies and TV, it's usually like, oh, there's one test tube and a guy goes in, then another one comes out of the other one. This one is like, so he learns about a cloning thing to make like a new you. It's like a spa.
Well, he doesn't know it's a cloning thing. He just thinks it's like, he plays a guy, Miles, who's kind of like, I guess kind of just burnt out in life, worn down,
kinda
depressed. Schlubby. You know, it seems like a few years earlier he was funny and, you know, fun to be around and upbeat and, like, motivated. But
getting a new house with his new wife and like, all this stuff. Yeah,
just over time, he's just kind of, it seems almost like he's in a depressed state almost.
Or midlife crisis or something.
Midlife crisis, maybe, yeah. And he's at work and one of his coworkers, he noticed, is, like, always on the ball, bringing, like, fresh ideas and always motivated. And he's like, oh, man, how do you do it? And he said that he went to the spa called Top Happy Spa.
That might be it, yeah.
And, you know, he doesn't explain what it is. He just says he came out feeling like a new person. So he gives Paul Rudd the card. He goes, and it just looks like any run-of-the-mill, like, strip mall spa where you probably
shitty
get, like,
sign.
$5 hand jobs or whatever, like that kind of quality.
You know, for all of that reputation that, like, massages get, and there's always so many jokes about, like, oh, happy endings and stuff like that. I've gotten many, many massages throughout my life at many different massage places
and
things like that.
And the hand jobs actually cost way more than...
Yeah, it's you got to put down a credit card up front. It's a whole thing. No, it's like there's never even been like the hint or implied like anything.
Not.
No, not at all. But like if you watch movies and stuff like that, it's always like anytime there's a massage involved, the joke is always the happy ending or the hand job or something. And it's like most places, I think massage parlors probably have to fight that stereotype because I go to some that like have things on the walls that are like, hey, if anything sexual is even hinted at
really?
All, you will
I've
be
never
asked
been
to leave.
I've never gotten a massage before, so I've never seen that.
Yeah, the one near us has that stuff on the walls.
Oh,
where
that's
it's like,
awesome.
Hey, if anything is brought up, you are leaving immediately.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things. Like, if you go to a massage parlor that's in the basement of some building in the West Village, I think like you kind of know what you're going for.
Yeah, like I'm looking up Yelp reviews and stuff like that, and like making sure that it's like on the up and up, and like
I'm certain there has to be communities online where that information is freely shared. Like, oh, if you go to this spot, but I think all the, as far as I know, all the massage parlors around here seem to be on the up and up. I mean,
yeah. I don't think any crimes ever happen in New York City.
No, of course not. But what would I know? I have no earthly idea.
You wouldn't be able to handle a massage at all.
I would have to ask them to be extremely gentle. When I, like, I will occasionally get, like, manicure and pedicure, and I, obviously, part of it is getting my cuticles trimmed and all that shit, but the big part of it is this, like, 30-second mini massage that you get while your nails are drying at the end of it, which is very relaxing.
But not, like, you've never gotten, like, a deep tissue, like, back massage or something. Man, they get in there.
No, I couldn't handle that.
It's, like, you are, like, involuntarily making noises and stuff sometimes. And sometimes they take, like, super fucking hot rocks, and they put them on your back, and it's just, like, you feel, like, your skin's, like, sizzling. It's a whole thing. They get, like, super hot towel, like, really hot water on towels and put it across your back at the end. Stuff like that sometimes.
Do you ever see, I know you've seen this because we watch Sunshine and Josuke together, but like at some bathhouses, I know it happens in Japan, but I assume at other bathhouses, they like scrub you violently afterward.
I feel like I've seen depictions of that, but I've never heard
like
of that.
Yeah, like scrub all the dead skin off. It seems like extremely painful, like a deep exfoliation.
Get your hair cut at Sports Clips and they'll have you tip your head back into the sink and do a little shampoo thing. It's kind of a head massage thing, and that's kind of vigorous sometimes.
Yeah, they will wash your hair at a hair salon. Yeah,
at Sports Clips.
Happens.
Well, that's the only place I've been to where they offer to wash your hair.
Oh yeah,
I'm sure, like, you probably have gone to much fancier places than that. I grew up going to Sports Clips, which is like,
well, I mean,
the least fancy.
I have been to like Supercuts and stuff like that.
Yeah
but yeah, for some reason getting your hair washed by someone else feels so good.
Yeah, I found I was always the bargain Supercuts and Great Clips guy growing up, but now that we're in New York City and there's all these like awesome like legit barber shops with like barber poles and stuff, and just a bunch of like funny Russian guys in there and stuff. Yeah. Like, I've loved getting my hair cut.
Yeah,
in those
and
places.
It's good to support a small business.
Yeah, I'm really into those places.
Yeah, I remember I went to a Sports Clips in Kansas when we were there for your sister's wedding because I wanted to get a blowout, and I was like, I should have gotten this before I came, but I was like, I'll just go here. I'm sure they'll do a blowout. And the good news was I expected to pay like $40, but it was only $15. The bad news is the woman just said that she couldn't do anything else to my hair other than make it perfectly straight, which is like, I could have done that myself, but whatever.
Sounds about right for Kansas Sports Clips. If you want to talk about the Chiefs, I'm sure she could keep you entertained for a while.
Yeah.
So anyway. So he goes to this place.
Yeah.
Knowing that it's, what, $50,000?
$50,000, yeah. Yeah. So I think it's one of those deals where it's like, if it was $5, you'd probably be skeptical, but $50,000, for some reason, that makes it seem more legit. I don't know.
It's either more legit or more just brazenly a scam, you know? Or it's like, oh, man, I can't believe they gave us $50,000.
Yeah. Turns out they clone him.
Yes, and it's one of the very first things that happens in the show, and I think it's definitely the first episode, where they clone you without you knowing. You basically just get put to sleep, and then so for the sake of this podcast, we'll say Old Miles and New Miles. Right. Old Miles is the original one that went to the cloning place, the schlubby one. Mm-hmm. And he just, they kill you, basically, or assume that the old one is dead and bury them in the woods in like a bunch of saran wrap, and then the new one is released. And I think ideally it's supposed to be like the new one doesn't even know that they are a clone.
Right. They just have all the memories.
Yeah. They're like, I just feel better.
Right.
In fact, they established pretty early on one of the only actual differences is that the old one has a appendectomy scar, which I thought was really interesting because that you would think that is how it would work because like all the genetic material and memories and body type and everything would be the same. But like the scar wouldn't carry over, obviously. So that was an interesting.
Unless it's face off.
Yeah. Of course. Well, then
tiny
you can,
scar.
Yeah.
Here.
Yeah. It keeps him alive. Keeps him thinking about Michael. So they're kind of clever about it because they're both named Miles and they're both Paul Rudd, and they kind of indicate who's who by the old one kind of dresses schlubbier and stuff like that, but mainly his hair is kind of down over his forehead, and the new one kind of has it like coiffed. Is that the word, coiffed up?
Coiffed?
I don't know.
What's interesting is I feel like I was never at any point watching the show confused about which Miles I was seeing. Like their behavior is totally different and stuff.
And also the special effects and everything, and obviously a lot of body double stuff and everything. It's seamless. Like they've had this technology, fucking Multiplicity, you know, in the 90s, but it's gotten better, obviously.
The famous mirror scene in Terminator 2.
Of course.
Well, that was Twin.
Yes.
Twin Hamiltons.
Yeah. That's so cool.
That was really cool.
But they do a really good job with all the special effects stuff, I thought. I thought it would be kind of cool what if, I don't know if this would be possible or make any sense, probably wouldn't production-wise, but if they had Paul Rudd kind of like let himself go and like, you know, just eat a bunch of bullshit or whatever for a couple months, film all the scenes with the old one mm-hmm. and then have him like kind of, you know, work out and get back to it or mm-hmm. vice versa, you mm-hmm. know, like start one way and then sure. work out, you know, and then shoot all the new ones just to make it more like, oh, he's got this gut or he's a little pudgier in the face or
yeah.
something.
Yeah. Like I mean, the fact that it was cloned, like the original Miles would have been duplicated. So it would have been like over time.
That's true. Yeah. Through habits and stuff like that.
But yeah, so that's pretty much the root of all the conflict in the show is that instead of killing, they think they kill the original Miles, but he wakes up and digs himself out of his grave. So there's these two Mileses that exist.
Yeah, and they did a good job of like, I kind of had sympathy for both of them mm-hmm. because the old one almost got killed and right. he has to constantly compare himself to the new one.
Right.
And then the new one doesn't really know what the fuck he is once he finds out he's a clone and he has to like cope with all of his memories being a lie mm-hmm. and kind of that like existential issue, you know, and like he basically gets cast off at some point and has to live on his own and but well, he has all these memories of his wife
yeah
and everything.
I feel like that's the crux of a lot of his heartache is the fact that he is obviously madly in love with his wife but he can't be with her because he's not technically I mean like he's not the original Miles, he's not who she's married to.
Yeah, but you obviously have such a chip on your shoulder and be bitter about that because
oh,
it's
sure.
like I did nothing wrong here yeah. like I you know
yeah I feel bad for new Miles
yeah
I do. But and it's also one of those things where, like, old Miles, especially in the beginning, like, when it first was happening, you could tell that he is, like, extra just giving up because he assumes, like, oh, new Miles will just do everything. He'll be the – and then I could just give in to all my vices and drink and laze about.
Yeah,
and
finally work on
jerk
this
off
book and stuff.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
You know, it's interesting. I remember in, like, 2005, like, early 2000s, cloning was all the rage. Remember all that talk about the sheep
Dolly,
being cloned?
The yeah. sheep, yeah.
And then, like, no one cares about cloning anymore. Like, no one talks about it.
Well, I think it's probably at the point where it's, like, it could be done, but it's just, like, don't do that.
Yeah.
Like, they've done it with sheep and, like, Barbara Streisand's pet or something like that, you know, like... You can do that.
Yeah.
You can clone pets.
I've heard about, like, some rich couple in Florida, who, and I'm sure other people have gotten this done, too, who, like, really love their lab or something, so they just got, like, a clone of it when that one died, so they just had the same dog,
it's
essentially.
It's such a weird thing
it's
that that's
really
possible.
Weird. Yeah,
like,
it's kind of, I feel like it's a little bit of an abomination.
I can imagine if we had, like, another razor running around here.
I would just want, like, you have the memories of that dog. The memories... You know, how would you feel like if someone, if you passed on and then like someone just duplicated you to try to fill the void that you left? No, you just want your memories to live on and stuff. You know, it's not, you want to be in control of your fate. You want to be there for the things that happen to you. You know?
It's such a weird ethical and playing God thing. That,
it like... is. Yeah, I don't like it. I mean, like duplicate humans like with technology, like when they're not organic, but don't make like actual organic clones. You know what I mean? Like I'm all for, you know, we talk about this all the time. Like,
are you talking about a genome army? Like
no,
in
no,
Metal
no.
Gear?
I'm talking about like a replicant style, like AI kind of
what
thing.
What could go wrong there?
A lot can go wrong, but I feel like it's less of a abomination than, you know, using someone's genetic material and stuff.
Yeah, until they become sentient and decide that they're going to kill everyone.
Well, yeah, but I feel like that's just the natural course of things.
You think we're heading towards a robot apocalypse?
Not anytime soon, but no, I could see a Grey Goo apocalypse scenario.
Yeah, happening. Sentient AI,
nano machines,
Skynet
ever duplicating and just taking over the world.
Yeah, yeah. We won't live to see that.
No, we'll be long dead. We're probably gonna. I mean, yeah, we will be dead before we see a lot of that stuff happening for sure.
I hope we see Mars. I hope we see a landing on Mars. Maybe I'm just thinking that because I'm reading The Martian right now, but I bet we'll see a landing on Mars in our lifetime.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, remember how Elias Shawkat is in the show?
Maybe, oh, yeah.
From Arrested Development?
Yeah. She's been in a lot of things.
I know, but like, yeah, it's not weird that she's in something. Mm-hmm. It's just like, I almost forgot that she was in this because she seems almost completely inconsequential. They just go over to her place a couple times, and I think John Glazer, the old Conan writer, is her husband. And she's just like, there's a couple scenes where it's like, we're
Miles'
wacky,
sister.
Hippie, yeah, we're painting stuff, but they just don't really have any bearing on the plot, really.
Right, yeah. As far as, like, the totality of the show, I feel like it's a really strong concept, and I feel like it meanders quite a bit, you know what I mean?
I feel like they don't do as much with the concept as they could have. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a couple times where it's like, okay, this is, the moment that, you know, his wife, Kate, finds out, and then the moment that, like, old Miles appears while new Miles is, like, telling a story at TGI Fridays with the girl. Like, there are those big moments of, like, oh my God, there's two of them? But, like, it doesn't really pay off in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
I think the show does have its laughs, for sure. I think everybody involved, Paul Rudd does a great job. Isling Bay, Kate,
yeah.
She does a really good job just kind of playing that, like, what the fuck am I supposed to do here?
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't, I feel like they could have done more with this.
Yeah.
But granted, it's also, this is a pretty short series. Mm-hmm. It's 8 episodes, and they're all, like, less than 30 for the most part. So we're talking about, like, 4 hours. So it's, like, a long movie, you know? So not a whole lot happens with
it. Yeah, it's really just, like, as soon as the clone gets discovered by Kate, because everyone else can just assume, like, oh, Miles has a twin brother. You know, to everyone else, it's probably just like, I didn't know he had an identical brother, whatever. Obviously, for her, it's like, oh, shit, there's a clone. She knows. Once that mystery is gone, I feel like it kind of just plateaus a little bit.
They had a moment where I thought it would be pretty interesting when they kind of exile new Miles. Be like, hey, sorry, man, this sucks, but here's some money. Get out of here. You know, go live your life. Do whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
And then Kate is getting ever impatient and annoyed with old Miles and goes on a dating site and, like, narrows down all of her filters and stuff. And it's one guy and it's new Miles, which I thought that was an interesting idea, but... Mm-hmm. They really just kind of go on a date, and then they, like, have this quick, like, affair thing in a hotel where, like, things don't really go wrong. But things don't go right. But I don't know what they were trying to say about new Miles in that scene. Because, like, there's parts where he's like, oh, I booked us tickets to Paris. I made you breakfast in bed. Let's do the routine, the Rick James dance from our wedding, you know. But it's like, and she's not really feeling it. I mean, was the thing just like, it's not... Like, what are they trying to say about new Miles?
I think what it was there's this new Miles who's, like, essentially a brand new car. And there's obviously the old Miles. And the old Miles and Kate have been together and experiencing, you know, hardships. And they're both kind of worn out at this point. So new Miles and Kate, who's been the same Kate the whole time, like, she is probably irritated by the fact that there's certain expectations looking at him and how he's going to behave, but he's acting in this, like, extreme, like, super just taking care of it, being super romantic, being super loving and cutesy and sweet and stuff like that to an annoying degree sometimes.
Yeah.
And, like, the fact that he isn't, like, it's like they're on two completely different wavelengths, because she is worn out by the world. He is, like, bright and shiny, and it's just not meshing.
Yeah, and, like, her and old Miles, even though things weren't always perfect, they both kind of got older and more frustrated with things and went into their midlife kind of together, whereas, like, maybe that feels more genuine than new Miles just, like, doing this, like, put on, like, I'm great, and she couldn't handle it.
Yeah, the other recurring plot point through the show is Miles's work. He works for, like, a marketing firm, a branding firm, I don't know, some kind of agency, and they have this big, like, project with a telecommunications brand.
Yeah, they want to set up cell towers.
Yeah, so new Miles is, you know, comes up with this great idea, and old Miles kind of drops the ball sometimes, so there's a little bit of a conflict there. I didn't find that stuff particularly interesting, especially, like, the last few episodes that go into that, we were both confused as to what was going on at certain points. It didn't really communicate exactly why old Miles would be rooting against new Miles like he does.
Yeah, when he sits in the town meeting and whatever on the vote for the cell towers or whatever. They don't really devote enough time to that subplot to really get invested with that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought it was really weird, too, because Dan, his friend from work, who originally told him about the spot.
Right.
There's a part in, like, the last episode or the second to last episode where New Miles is, like, they meet at the bar. They're both just, like, pissed off at the world and they're drinking at a TGI Fridays. And then he's like, come with me. Well, like, they think they're going to go fight in the parking lot. But then New Miles is like, no, get in the car. I'm taking you somewhere. And he takes him to the middle of the woods and has him start digging up bodies with his
hands.
Yeah,
I would not be into that.
But it's not even like a gunpoint or anything. And Dan's just like, well, I guess I'm doing this. Why am I, like, why would he do that? I didn't really understand
that. Yeah, especially someone you were just about to fight.
Yeah, exactly. I guess I'll go to the woods and dig up bodies.
I'm not going to get in the car with you.
Yeah, it's, the show was, it had its moments for sure. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty breezy. Like, none of these episodes feel like they're dragging or anything like that. But I also just don't think that they really, like, make good on the full potential of this. And they super set it up for a second season.
Right.
Like, it's extremely set up. So, obviously, you don't care about spoilers if you're listening to this. They find out that Kate is pregnant.
Yeah. They've been trying to. It seems like they wanted a kid for a while. And then it kind of petered off. And
Yeah,
she's pregnant. And it's happens to be right after the business trip that she took with New Miles where they had sex.
So, yeah, since the genetic material is the exact same, there's no paternity test you can do. So it basically ends with awkward hug and they're like, hey, let's raise this kid together, which, you know, that could obviously be the basis for a second season if this is successful. But
yeah, I feel like if I was Kate, I would have just not announced that in front of both Miles's. That seemed like a stupid choice.
Yeah, figure out what's going on with the clone situation and raise a kid with the one you're with.
You just decided that you're married to old Miles, like, that's that. Like, so just save that information for later.
Yeah, and there's weird stuff, too, that just didn't really play for me. Like, near the end, old Miles gets kidnapped by the FDA.
Oh, yeah, that's just, like, a 20-minute thing.
I don't know what – it was just – in a show that is, you know, obviously supposed to be a bit unbelievable because it's about this wacky cloning situation, that was so unbelievable it kind of took me out of it, where it's, like, they kidnap him when he's getting in his car. They, like, throw a bag over his head and take him to a room and handcuff him and all this stuff. And it's, like, at the FDA office. It's just – That all felt weird to me, and none of it, like, it wasn't funny and didn't really do too much to advance the story, I didn't think.
Yeah.
So, did you notice, Aisling Bay, I'm sure I'm pronouncing that perfectly, Kate, the wife, there were moments where I would close my eyes, and it was, like, a dead ringer for Becky Lynch, like, her voice. And, like, it's not, like, I've heard Irish female voices that don't sound like that, but hers was specifically, like, just the way she talked and the cadence and everything. It's like, this is just Becky Lynch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting.
It's almost like an Irish accent, or obviously an Irish woman trying to tamp down the Irish accent a little bit.
Little bit.
Yeah. That's I feel like they were both kind of trying to do that.
Yeah, they also had some subplots and stuff with, by the way, there's the sirens we promised you at the beginning of this episode. they did some stuff with, like, Kate's job as, like, an interior decorator or something for, like, rich guys, and the one of the guys from the Sonic commercial is, like, this douchebag CEO of, like, a Tinder type thing, and I guess that leads to, like, her thinking about being on the dating site and stuff like that, but there's just a lot of side periphery stuff in the show that I felt didn't really go anywhere or wasn't fleshed out.
Right.
You know, the work stuff.
I would be, I don't know. I don't think I would necessarily want to watch a second season of this.
If it came out and people were like, oh man, it's a huge step up. This one's hilarious. You know, I guess I'd give it a shot. Because again, it's breezy. It's short.
It wasn't, I mean, it's, I guess, more of a black comedy. I mean, there weren't any, whenever I say black comedy, in my mind, it's just like a comedy that wasn't especially funny.
Right. It's dark situations with like a tinge of humor. Yeah, because at the end, it's like New Miles, like, repeatedly trying to figure out how to shoot himself in the face. You know, he's like putting like a pistol in his mouth and a bag over his head and all this stuff. So, like, it is dark at times.
Yeah.
And they do some interesting stuff with the idea of cloning and stuff. But, like, again, overall, it's maybe worth watching if you're just looking for something to burn through or have on in the background, but not. I feel like this is one of the middle of the road ones. I feel like with Painting the Stream, it's been a lot of like, oh wow, we're really into this thing. We hadn't heard of this thing, or it's like this is hilariously bad. Mm. I feel like this is fine.
Yeah, it's fine, and especially if you're a fan of Paul Rudd, then definitely check it out.
Yeah, he does some real good stuff in it.
Yeah, it's interesting. Actually, remember you and I were talking last time we were watching it about, like, if your clone committed a crime or your identical twin committed a crime, like, how would that work as far as determining, like,
fingerprints and stuff?
Yeah, I just looked it up, and apparently there is a test now that forensic scientists can use to determine which identical twin committed a crime.
Really?
Yeah, it's a new thing.
Weird, like, I've got twin sisters, but they're very fraternal, and, like, they don't look alike. They're very different personality-wise.
I think they look alike.
See, some people say that. But
I mean,
like,
they definitely look like sisters. It's not like they look identical, but...
But you could tell immediately upon seeing one who's who, right?
Yeah, it's so funny. Even though they're your half-sisters, they look like full full sisters from you. It makes me realize the influence your mother has on your appearance. But then when I look at Paul, when I look at my father-in-law, I see like, oh yeah, obviously related to Dan. I mean,
yeah,
it's interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
I just feel like, because you and your sisters have that same nose. You have like a flat, the bottom of your nose is flat and your sister's nose is the same way.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I think I got my dad's eyes. Mm. I think, well, he's blonde and blue-eyed, which, you know, I'm dark everything. But yeah, it was so funny when they were growing up and like they, yeah, sure, maybe there's a resemblance, like a family resemblance with my sisters. Mm-hmm. But like people would be like, do you ever like do fun things in school where you like trade and go to each other's classes and see what people say?
Twin magic.
It's like, no, that's, yeah, yeah, they're not the Bellas. Which the Bellas you can tell apart now too. But.
Well, yeah, one has fucking giant titties.
When they started, they were pretty much just like, oh, yeah, they would do the twin magic thing.
Yeah.
And then as their body, like as Brie got way more super vegan and everything, uh-huh. and Nikki like started powerlifting with John Cena and getting fake boobs, it's like, you can't really do the twin magic thing anymore. It's pretty obvious.
Yeah.
Yes. So that's it for Living With Yourself. It's all right. Check it out.
Yeah.
If you got some time to kill.
Yeah. It was, I'm glad we watched it.
Yeah. 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 I don't regret it at all. But that'll be it for this week.
Mm.
As always, I really want to thank all of our patrons on Patreon. Thank you all so much. I love hopping in there and responding when I see the comments and letting you guys know what's coming ahead of time. Obviously, you can check that out on the Twitter, too, at PanTheStream.
On the Twitter?
On the Twitter. But yeah, if you go to the Patreon, it's patreon.com/PanTheStream. $5 a month. That's our one tier. Keep it simple.
Five schmackers.
Yep. You're going to get an ad-free version of the podcast. You get a little private RSS link sent to you. You got access to the Patreon there if you want to leave comments or whatever or chat with us. And also, you're going to get something no other Patreon can give you. It's a Bonku. Which is a haiku from Bonk. I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry.
Stop saying that. I screwed up.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. It is has nothing to do with haikus.
You never said that for like, we've been doing this for a year and a half and you never said that. And now all of a sudden you said it two times in a row.
I got to protect the business.
Yeah.
You'll get a Bonk.
Anyone can do a haiku, Dan.
It's true. Only Bonk can do a Bonk.
That is right.
Trademarked.
Yes.
So Bonk, we have, we're working through the Bonkus right now.
Mm.
And would you like to read a Bonku to one of our patrons today?
Sure.
Oh my God. It's the word Bonku. I just looked over. Sang Bonku. Razor. Watch. Every time I say Bonku. 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 He's tilting his head every time.
He
was laying down completely until he heard Bonku. And then he popped his head up and got really interested. I think he knows that Bonku means we're near the end. And he's about to get a Cheez-It. Oh yeah. His nose twitched when I said Cheez-It. Oh boy. Okay. Well, we need to get out of here before he starts freaking the fuck out because he heard Cheez-It. All right. Let's hear a Bonku for one of our patrons.
All right. This one is for Scott. Scott. You've supported us in the past. We really appreciate it. You're the man with a plan.
Was that the Bonku?
No. I think that, well, you must be a good person because you obviously have great taste.
Yes.
I mean, let's face it here. I'm just being real with you, Dan.
Scott, classic name.
It's a great name.
Steiner?
It's Scott
Lots
Steiner.
Lots of great Scotts.
I feel like Scott is one of those names, like, it's one of those few names that's like, Scott is a perfect name for a child, mm-hmm. right? It's like a
Scotty.
cute little boy name.
Yeah.
And also, it's a wonderful name for a solid dude.
Yeah, you can be a professional businessman named Scott. You can also just be a cool, chill guy named Scott.
Yeah, you know how some names you can only see, like, children with the name?
Yeah, Billy. But then you can switch to Bill.
Well, I feel like if you're once a Billy, you're always going to be a Billy, right?
No, I was Danny, and now I'm Dan.
Well, okay. Maybe you're right. I don't know.
Legally, you can change it.
You know, my brothers call me Tronk.
That's true. That doesn't make any damn sense.
My mom calls me Beta Schlonk. I don't even know.
It's all very weird.
I swear to God, that's what she calls me.
I don't understand.
You hear it. I don't.
It's a mystery.
Well, I mean, I think it stems from my grandma used to call her Minamana Baby Banana, and Tommy was Seedless Grape.
Your family is just an interesting bunch of folks.
Yeah. Okay, Scott, here's your Bonku. As I was walking, a golden dog said to me, "Hey, have you seen Scott?"
I like that one a lot. True story?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Cool. Wow.
Yeah.
There you go, Scott. Mm-hmm. I like that one a lot. That's a good one. I hope Scott liked it as well.
Yeah, Scott, I hope that put a big old smile on your cutie pie face.
So as we said, if you want to find out what's coming up next, go to Twitter, Panning the Stream. No, sorry, it's Pan the Stream, at Pan the Stream on Twitter.
The microblogging platform, Twitter.com.
Yeah, it's all the rage. It's a great place. Also, you can email us comments, suggestions, feedback, anything like that, whether you're a patron or not, at panningthestream@gmail.com. We love getting your suggestions and your feedback and everything. And I think that's going to be about it for this, I was about to say television show. That's not at all what we do. This internet podcast.
Yes. Thank you for listening. We appreciate it.
We do.
It's really nice of you to listen to us.
Yeah. It's really nice to sit here across the table from you, Bonk, and do this each and every week.
Oh, I love looking at your face. It's so nice. It's so cute. Look at those little cheeks.
I got to hide behind my pop filter here to keep these folks from having to hear all this. So, speaking of your family, Tom Monda, thanks for the theme song.
Thanks, bro.
And I guess that'll be it. Thanks to each and every one of you listening at home. Thanks to everyone on Patreon. Bonk, thanks to you for being here. And Razor, thanks for being a good boy.
He's a
You're
good
getting
boy.
To cheese it. And we'll see you all next week.
Bye.